to deal with the subject that's at hand tonight. I never thought I'd see the day when we would have to take the sacred time of preaching the gospel to deal with social issues that are prevailing and overtaking our land. All the Old Testament prophets were not only hated by religious leaders, they were hated by their own countrymen because they dealt with the social corruption of their day. And I don't think we ought to change the tone just because we're living in the last days and become sympathetic to things that God has cursed in days gone by. Now, the judges may change their mind about the way they feel about certain structures of this country. And even preachers may change their mind. But if God has ever cursed it and condemned it and damned it, He still curses it, condemns it, and damns it today. Pensacola is a cesspool of sin. Every freak, reprobate, nuthead, quack, and fruitcake you can imagine lives in the panhandle of Pensacola. There are so many freak shows in my life, and it's free. All you got to do is walk the mall, Pensacola. You'll see one of the greatest freak shows in America. So I want to deal with a sin that is overpowering our country. It's amazing to me. I was taught as a young Christian that demons love water. I was taught that because of Mark chapter 5, when Jesus cast the demons out of that man, they ran into a herd of swine and ran down to the beach. So there is something that equates demonology with water. You look at all your coastal states. Look at Florida. Look at California. Go up your coastal waters. Look at the demonic activity. Look it up even in your New England states, marrying fags. Let me tell you something, I don't care if a fag's got a marriage certificate as long as a roll of toilet paper. He's still a pervert and abomination in the sight of God. And I'm not backing off of social issues, and I'm not afraid to deal with them. Now, may I say to you, dealing with this subject is not popular. They have threatened to kill me. They've shot at me. They've shot at my wife. They have called my answering machine and said they were going to hang me upside down over a bed with silk sheets and cut my throat and let the blood drip on the bed while they make lesbians out of my wife and daughters. So we're dealing with a very violent, ungodly, perverted group of people in Genesis chapter 19. Now, I don't want you to think they're just good old guys. They'd kill every Bible believer tonight if they could do it and get by with it. So if you think I'm a little strong tonight, good, because I am. And I'm not apologizing because your cousin's a queer either. Some of you used to be like this till you found out your brother-in-law was bisexual. I don't care if it's a Siamese twin. If they live this perverted lifestyle, they're an abomination and a disgrace in the sight of God. So tonight, I think you need to educate yourself with the predominant sin that we're going to have to deal with from now till the day Jesus comes. This thing is not going to go away. I'm preaching tonight on the strategy of sodomites. Now, I want to begin reading my scripture in Genesis chapter 19 in verse number 1. There were two angels at Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways." And they said, "Nay, we will not abide, we'll abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out to us." Now watch this, that we may know them. By the way, that word "know them" doesn't mean to shake their hand and to become acquainted with them. It is like Joseph knew his wife Mary. This is a sexual content. "Bring these men out that we may sexually abuse them." And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not this wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you and do ye to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." They said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot in the house to them and shut the door. And they smote them that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here even besides son-in-laws and thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, watch this, and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Now I want to preach from Genesis chapter number 19, and I know you probably heard messages on sodomites and people blowing them out and putting them in hell. But I want to psychologically and biblically dissect the thinking and the strategy of this perverted lifestyle. The word strategy means their approach, their maneuvering, their procedure, their tactics, their plan, as in the context of a military warfare. May I say unto you that the issue that we're dealing with in our day has been carefully planned by a generation of perverts that know not the God of the Bible. So I said, well, I don't think you ought to preach on that. You ought to just preach on Jesus all the time. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Nobody wants to preach on anything anymore. 4,000 babies get killed every day in abortion clinic. Nobody wants to say anything about it. 29 million gallons worth of beer drunk every day in America. Nobody wants to say nothing about it. $35 million worth of pornography sold every day in America. Nobody wants to say anything about it. 40,000 11-year-old babies got pregnant last year in America. Nobody wants to say anything about it. 750,000 teenage girls gave babies last year to nobody to call daddy, and nobody wants to say anything about it. Let me tell you something, bless God. We're in a mess because nobody wants to say anything about it. God help us to raise up a generation of preachers that have enough God and guts in them to look this crowd in the face and tell them what thus saith the Lord. Let me tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11 that if you're not careful and you do not know the devices of the devil, he will get the advantage over us. That's what the Bible says. You have to sit down every once in a while and look at life in through the blueprints and the viewing of those that don't know God. I was thinking the other day, and I was reading a book that somebody had given me on serial killers and perverts. Did you know 96% of all active sodomites and child molesters say they strategically had a strategy behind their actions before they ever attempted to abuse another life? I was reading a book today called Predators and Other Sex Offenders, written by Ann Salter, and this is what she said. When perverts come on the scene, they do not come on in perversion. They come on with deception. Their attitude is deceive people to before they show their true colors. 80% of all the strategy of sodomites is done by manipulation and seduction. In other words, they just kind of come in with a smooth attitude. They want to get along with everybody. They want to be an asset to the community. Then all of a sudden, the gates of hell itself break loose in our town because of the perversion that is overridden in the minds and the hearts of this generation. Now I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I've been cussed, shot at, run off. I've been threatened on every hand. There's nothing you could say to me tonight that's not already been said. But I still feel the same way about Genesis 19 as I did the first time I ever preached against it. It is a wicked, ungodly abomination in the sight of God. Somebody said, well, all sin is sin. You don't know anything about the Bible. How can you say all sin is sin? Did you know this is the only sin in the whole Bible that even makes the earth itself vomit? The only one is the sin of perversion in sodomy. How can you say all sin is sin when the Bible declares there's a sin unto death and then there's a sin that's not unto death? You don't know anything about the Bible when you make that kind of statement. There is a difference in categories of sin and transgression and the repercussions of it. But there has never been a sin so damnable, so denounced, and so defined in the Bible as this sin of sodomy. Sodomites do not build nations. Sodomites tear nations down. If you can even set the Bible aside for a night, pick up the history books. Show me one nation in all the world, in all the history books in eons of time, where perverts have ever built a nation. Not one nation in the world has ever prevailed and prospered with perverted leadership. As a matter of fact, all of them have went down in disgrace and they've been destroyed. And now all we have is their ruins and what we know in the history books. All of the empires gone by went to perversion. And my friend, there's not even one stone left upon another. God has always judged this sick sin. God not only rained fire from heaven, He rained fire and brimstone. There's only one other place you find fire and brimstone in the Bible, and that's in hell itself. When God rained fire and brimstone down from heaven, He was telling the world, this sin was birthed in hell, and I'm putting it back exactly where it belongs, in the pits of hell. I am not a sympathetic. I am not a moderate. I am not a get-along preacher. I am not, let's all just join hands and go to heaven together. That's hogwash. This thing is sick, and it's got to be dealt with according to the Scriptures. Now I want to show you the mindset of the sodomites tonight. I want to show you what they're up to. As a matter of fact, several years ago, a very wealthy sodomite called me from Pensacola, Florida. He allowed me to interview him an hour, and he allowed me to tape the conversation. He's a very wealthy man. He was a businessman here in this town. Had everything the world had to offer. After talking an hour on the telephone, we hung up the phone and he committed suicide right here in this town just several years ago. That's the thing about sodomy that the world needs to know. It's never satisfied. It's like the pervert told Brother Bob last night, I'd get out of this lifestyle if I could. I tell you, it's a web that will turn loose lust and depravity that only those with a warped mind can understand and comprehend. I want to show you the thinking of the sodomites tonight. I don't expect you to shout, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to preach the truth, whether you shout or pout. It don't matter to me. We done took the offering, and I get paid the same. I want to show you the mindset of the sodomites. You'll find them in Genesis chapter number 19. Watch that coat, preacher. Don't let my cigarettes fall out. I want to tell you, first of all, the Bible declares to us in verse number 1, I want you to watch this. What is the mindset and the strategy of the sodomites? Number 1, they want to become politically influential. Politically influential. You say, well, how in the world do you get that? The Bible said that Lot sat at the gates of the city. Now, nowhere in the Bible can I prove to you that Lot was ever a sodomite. I cannot prove to you that he was ever a partaker necessarily of their evil deeds. But the fact that he sat at the gates of the city, he was a political leader. He was considered one of the elders of Sodom and Gomorrah, two of the five big cities that were there in that big geographical setting. And Lot was a political leader. You say, well, how do you know Lot was sympathetic to that crowd? Because later on in the chapter, he calls them brethren. When he went out the door and he shut the door behind him, Lot was so wicked and ungodly and was so sympathetic to that crowd that he called a bunch of sodomites brethren. Let me tell you how sympathetic he was to the sodomites as a political leader. He was willing to offer the virginity of his two young teenage daughters to those bunch of perverts out on the front porch of his house. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, how much sicker, how sick can a politician be that would sacrifice the future of their own family and their own generation and their own nature and their own nation just to prove and to please the sodomy and the perversion of the day that they're living in? But may I say to you, that is exactly what's happening in this country, brother. These stinking, low-down, sorry politicians have sold the future of this country down the road just to please a bunch of faggots and sodomites. They may not be sodomites themselves, but they're sympathetic to the great gay rights movement and the special rights movement. That's why I don't understand for the life of me how anybody that claimed the name of God could have ever even prayed about voting for John Kerry and John Edwards. Brother, as they hugged the sodomites and promoted that lifestyle, it is unbelievable. You say, well, I'm a Democrat. I don't care, bless God, if you're a Martian. I still don't understand how anybody that could claim the name of God could stoop so low and be more worried about their future economy than they are the moral decency of a society. I'm telling you, the sodomite strategy is to become politically influential. They are running for senators. They are running for offices. They are running for judges. They are going to take this country without firing a shot by doing it through legislation and moving through the laws of this country. Who'd have dreamed? Who'd have dreamed 25 years ago that in the state of Massachusetts, some pot-bellied pig judge would stand out in front of a courthouse and let two men kiss publicly and give them a certificate of marriage or union or whatever you call it. And listen, be applauded by the people of the land. That is sick. It's perverted. But that shows you how far gone our judicial system is. Now look up here. I'm going to make some of you mad. And I don't give a good flip. I don't care. I hope I do make you mad. Listen, when a bunch of senators will fight the president for wanting to put pro-life and pro-family judges on the Supreme Court, that shows you how freaked out this stinking society really is. They have a desire to have a political influence. All the candidates that ever run in the state of Mississippi, I question them. I read their beliefs. I follow them. And if you're too low down and sorry to get your lazy tail out of bed and vote, don't you even say amen to me preaching tonight. If you don't vote and take action, shut up! They want to have political influence. Some of you look like you're not coming back. It doesn't matter to me. You stink of Democrats, I can smell you a mile away. I'm going to tell you what I think about a Democrat. I believe if you have a John Kerry sticker on the bumper of your car, you ought to be allowed to park in handicapped parking because you're mentally retarded. That's what I believe. I tell your tobacco-spitting grandma I said so. Political influence. Second of all, may I say to you, the strategy of the Sodomites, according to Genesis chapter 19, is they have a desire to pollute the next generation. Now, I want you to keep your Bible open. Look in verse number 4. I want to show you something. Look at what your Bible says. And before they could ever lay down, the men of the city, even of Sodom, watch this, they can pass the house round about. You have no problem with that. But look what the Holy Ghost put in there. Both old and young. Now, you know what that tells me, Brother Melvin? That tells me that these older Sodomites were influencing the children of Sodom and Gomorrah to become Sodomites as well. By the way, I said this to a fag the other day. You better be glad we're not all fags. You would have never got here. You ever thought about that? If we were fags, you'd have never got here in the first place. So you ought to shut up and thank God we're not all fags. Had it been Adam and Steve in the Garden of Eden, brother, it would have ended right there. And so we find that they're after the next generation. The public school system is the most damnable, contaminating, mind-boggling mess that's ever been birthed up out of hell. And by the way, they're not public schools, they're governmental schools. They're controlled by the bureaucrats and the liberals and the Democrats and all the other tree huggers and hoot owl kissers and whale savers and all them other bunch of freaks and environmentalists. And they're setting out to go into the school system and alter the mindset of our young people by teaching them in the classroom that homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. That is being taught with your tax dollars. That is an alternate lifestyle. In the state of Mississippi, a preacher called me. They took his 12-year-old son and showed him on the internet what a homosexual was and what the engagement was. A 12-year-old preacher's son. I called the principal and I said, I'm going to tell you something. You tell that fat dyke lesbian hussy that did that to that preacher's son that she better be glad it wasn't mine. Because you'd have more hell down there than you could put out with 5 fire departments. It's a low-down, sorry shame when you can't even send your kids to the school. All they want to talk about is sex. All they want to talk about is birth control. Oh, no, you can't carry a King James Bible down the hallway, but you can have your Motley Crue T-shirts on. You can have birth control in your purse. You can have cocaine in your pocket. You can be a sodomite and hold hands, but don't you dare carry a Bible. I'm telling you, they're getting the minds of the next generation. They're polluting them through the public schools. Television, wicked, damnable thing. Setting in the living rooms, entertaining in the minds of young, tender-hearted children. Prime-time heroes are now perverts. Open homosexuals, bisexuals, shacking up with other men. Shows like Mrs. Degenerate, who ever thought that a lesbian could start a talk show and become successful in the United States of America. The internet sites by the untold millions are after the minds of our young people, bombarding it and polluting it every day, and to teaching them that that which the Bible calls wicked is just old-fashioned and out of date. I was in a meeting last week, friend, and you hear me well. And a daddy came up to me and said that I've got an 11-year-old son that I'm having problems with. He's 11. Now, I was raised on the streets. My daddy was a drunk. My sisters were barmaids. I lived next door to a bar in a big ghetto with over 1 million people in it all my life. But I tell you, church kids at the age of 11 no more than what I did at the age of 11 living in the ghettos 35 years ago. It's amazing. He brought an 11-year-old boy to me the other day. He stole his great aunt's credit card and ordered over $1,000 worth of porn and pornography over the phone. 11-year-old boy. And so I went to the boy and I said, son, where in the world, how did you know who to call and how to order porn at 11 years old? Where do you get that kind of information from anyway? And he said, well, daddy put cable television in my room, and so I watch television all night and sleep all day. That's how this generation does. Bunch of lazy slobs. Their face is square because all they've ever done is look at a stinking monitor their whole life. Know nothing about Tonka toys or breaking a sweat. And that's why we've got a generation of faggots that are more interested in getting their nails polished than they are making a living for their family. Woo-hoo! And he said on late night television, they'd give a phone number where you could call with a credit card. Stole his aunt's credit card, ordered over $1,000 worth of porn. 11-year-old boy. I'm going to tell you, this world's sick. Can I tell you, young parents, something? That's why I never let my children stay all night with anybody. I never let my kids hang around the wrong influence. I didn't just drop my kids off. Once this happens, once it takes place, once that influence or that warped mind gets in the heart of your kid, it'll take a sovereign act of the grace of God to get it out. You better protect your kids. You better keep them close to you. God gave them to raise. They're not your neighbor's responsibility. They're not the grandparents' responsibility. They're not your uncle's responsibility. They're your responsibility. Shut up and raise them. They're after to pollute the minds of this next generation. Here they are now, young people involved in something that shouldn't even be categorized in their vocabulary. Number three, not only is there a strategy to pollute the next generation. Oh, let me say this. I want to say this before I go on. I've lost about half of you anyhow. I'm beginning to think some of you are fags. Why else would you be mad? You throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the only one that gets mad is the one that gets hit. What are you so upset about if you're not one? Let me tell you something about sodomy. Sodomy cannot reproduce, so they have to recruit. They have to constantly be recruiting other people. And they do it through the political realm, and they're doing it through polluting the minds of the next generation. May I say to you, number three? They want to penetrate all levels of social standard. The Bible said this in verse number four, that they circled the house round about, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. Now, if you'll study the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, you'll find out it was kind of like in the ghettos where I was raised. There was a ghetto for the poor people. There was a section of the town for the middle class. Then there was another section of the town for the upper class. And you know what the Bible said in verse 4? They came from every quarter. They came from every section of Sodom to get in on this perverted sin. Yes. That's the strategy of the Sodomites. They don't care if you're a loser or a leader. They want you involved. They'll go down to the ghettos. They'll go to the multimillionaires in Las Vegas. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what your social standing is. They just want you involved. Why do they want that? Because they know the more different levels of social standings they get involved, they know the more pressure it's going to put on us to keep our mouth shut and to back off from the issues because of the multitudes we're going to offend. I don't care if it offends everybody in the building. I don't care if Pensacola has a stinking heart attack tonight. It's still wrong. It's got to be dealt with. And I don't care what level they are. I don't care what movie star's doing it. I don't care what bum on the street's doing it. It's sick. Now, if you don't think government doesn't protect this crowd, let me illustrate.
Come on.
First time I embalmed a man was 1974. Since the first time, and I've embalmed hundreds of people, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, city and country, everywhere, you name it, any situation, paupers, beggars, millionaires, I buried them all. And in 1974, you would always get a death certificate vindicating the cause of death. That's still supposed to be true today, but let me illustrate. If I go to the morgue here in Pensacola, Florida tonight and pick up a man's body that died of what we used to call tuberculosis, TB, which there is another strand out of it now that the vaccine does not even touch. If I go pick up a man in the morgue tonight in Pensacola that died of tuberculosis, he will be in a sealed body bag. I have to pick him up in a uniform. And there's a red tag hanging on that zipper, and you know what it says? Biohazard. That means through the embalming process, if I'm not properly clothed, I can be attached to the germ that is in their lung. And that's true, and it has happened. So he's marked as a biohazard. Nobody says anything about that. If I go to the Pensacola hospital tonight and I pick up a man and he has died of hepatitis, whether it be the strain of A, the strain of B, or the strain of C. Hepatitis is a liver disease that can be contacted in many different ways. But if he's died of hepatitis, when I pull his body out of that shelf, outside that bag will be marked a biohazard. Because even though he is deceased, if I'm not properly dressed through fluid-to-fluid contact, I can contact hepatitis C and it'll kill me. The tuberculosis germ can be inhaled through breathing, getting down to the facial structure close to it. You can inhale the bacteria and get tuberculosis. But when it comes to hepatitis, you do it through fluid-to-fluid contact, maybe through making an incision and having to sew it, I stick myself with a needle with somebody that's had hepatitis C. Through that fluid contact, I can become a victim of that. And so it's very dangerous, Brother Melvin. And I appreciate the government telling me that there's danger with tuberculosis. I appreciate them telling me there's danger with hepatitis, whether it be A, B, or C. But did you know if a man dies of AIDS in Pensacola tonight, and I go to the morgue to pick up his body, did you know it is constitutionally against the law to mark that bag a biohazard? Even though I can get AIDS from fluid-to-fluid contact, just like I can from the hepatitis, and even though some scientists believe that AIDS can come from other situations that don't even have to do with fluid-to-fluid contact, 9% of everybody that's ever died with AIDS in America have no earthly idea how they got it. But in spite of the fact that there's great danger in dealing with an AIDS body, did you know it is against the law to put a biohazard tag on an AIDS individual? But it's not hard to think. When you pick up a 45-year-old man and he weighs 65 pounds, and all the faggots start calling and telling you how they want him dressed and they want to put him in a dress and they talk like women on a television, it's not hard to distinguish what you're dealing with. But here's what I'm saying. That's how warped already this country is. They don't have any problem telling you got tuberculosis. They don't have any problem telling you have hepatitis. But we don't want anybody to know that anybody's dying of AIDS. That's discrimination, and you cannot tag their body. That's hogwash! So we're farther gone than we think we are. They want to penetrate all social standards. I got to hurry and close. Verse number 5. They want public parades and displays of their sin. The Bible said they came out, bless God, they circled all the way around the house. If I could say this, Brother Bob, they were having parades down in Pensacola. They came out of the closets. They were in the streets because sodomites have realized one thing. Numbers speak, and they've become very bold, and they no longer have shame of their lifestyle. Hospitals, doctors, interior decorators, funeral homes. The business world is now becoming eat up with a stinking sin. And it's taken over, and people are very public. They're working in restaurants. They're in banks. They're in motels. They're in the clothing business. They're in the singing world. It's everywhere you go. You see them in churches now.
Come on.
I've seen them choir directors, and I said, there's something wrong with that dude.
Yeah. Come on.
I know what I'm talking about. I've seen preachers' boys look like a bunch of fags, act effeminate, play a piano like a girl, switch across the platform like they got flip-flops on.
Yep.
Something bad wrong with that, I'm telling you. Wanting to wear frilly stuff and flowery stuff. Something bad wrong with a man doesn't want to be a man. Amen, that's right. I was at a youth camp not long ago, and one boy said, I don't want to play baseball. I'm afraid I'll break a fingernail. And I'm going to tell you, his daddy ought to kick him in the rear till his nose bleeds. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is a sick society, buddy. Boys don't want to get dirty anymore. They don't even know what a talking toy is. They don't even know what having blue jeans and coveralls on. Throw them out in the sun. Let them break a sweat. Let them dig a fence hole. Let them grow up to be a boy, bless God Almighty. Let them be a boy. Amen, that's right. Men are being raised by dominant women, and also all they have for an idea of leadership in their life is a female figure. Now they're coming out of everywhere. In California several years ago, I'll tell you how public they are. They had a mock parade of Jesus from the 12 disciples. California. As he came down the battered road with a bloody cross on his back, his 12 apostles were following him. They were dressed like nuns, following this so-called Jesus. When they got to the platform where they were going to have the crucifixion before they crucified Jesus, the Apostle Peter, supposedly in a nun's uniform, announced that the reason why Jesus never lusted after the woman at the well, why he never wanted to have an affair with Mary Magdalene, Why women never tempted him to be lustful in the sin was because at that period of time he was actively engaged in relationships with his own apostles. Now let me tell you something, friend. There ain't a crevice in hell hot enough for that pervert. And you could take this luck you want, but the sooner that faggot gets to hell, the better off this whole world's going to be. For somebody to say something about the Lamb of God. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He was not a homo. He was not a hillbilly. I'm going to tell you something. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who he is. They're public in their displays. I've got to hurry and close. I've lost most of you anyhow. Now, I say to you, they want to pressure the rights of those that have moral standard. Verse number 9, the Bible said they pressed Lot so much that they wanted to break down the door of separation. They wanted that door of separation broke down. They wanted to remove all Lot's rights and protection. Now, let me ask you something. Where are the police of Sodom?
Yeah.
They've completely encamped his house. They're beating the door down. They're going to molest and rape these two witnesses. You can't find law enforcement anywhere. Because society believes we owe them something. We ought to be willing to open up our doors and break down that wall of separation. Oh, quit being different. Quit being an old fogey. Stop being an oddball. And all of his protection and his rights were gone. Now watch this. I'm going to give you something to think about. The only protection Lot had was within his dwelling. Those two men. So what God's telling me is this, Brother Ronnie, in these last days that we're living in, the only protection you're going to have with your family against these bunch of perverts is going to be something you have within the privacy of your home. Because legislation and government and police are not going to back you up. So I've got something in my house. I got two witnesses in my house. 44 magnums with 6-inch barrels. Two witnesses. And the first fag that comes through that door will be in hell before he can yell, ouch. Now, what they do in society, Brother Daugherty, I may be limited in what I can do, but I'm telling you they're not going to break down the wall of separation and come in my home and try to promote that propaganda and shove it down the minds of my children and my young grandchildren. I'm going to stand against it. If it ticks off everybody in my county, I got a right to rightfully defend what God gave me in my home. Let me say this. I did it anyhow. I was out of town holding revival. The county sheriff came down to one of our civic centers and had a rally. And it was about protection and thieves. And he said, now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what you need to do. If somebody's breaking in your house and you think they want to do you bodily harm, as quick as you can, you need to get your family up and get in a vehicle and leave. Leave. And give this freak an opportunity to come have anything he wants in your house, just so long as he's not doing you bodily harm. And if you're going to take any action at all, you've got to prove beyond reasonable doubt that he was coming to do bodily harm. Let me tell you something, buddy. When that sucker sticks his head in my window, as far as I'm concerned, that's beyond all reasonable doubt he's coming to do bodily harm. And so when I heard the sheriff said that, it ticked me off. It made me mad. So when I got back to town, I called the mayor. I said, I want to meet with you and the sheriff. I want to talk to both of you. And I said, Sheriff, I want you to write this down in your book. You put it down in your book. Here's my address. And I gave him my address, and I said, I want you to put this in your book. The first thief or fag that sticks his head in that window, I'm going to kill him. He said, but you can't. I said, let me tell you something. I pay the taxes. That's my house. That's my family. What do you want me to do? Stop and give him a questionnaire? Are you here to do me bodily harm? Do you just want furniture? Would you like to come in the door? Can I help you carry it out? Is that the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life? We're prisoners in our own homes. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. All I say to a fag that sticks his head in my window is this. Your boyfriend better be able to identify you by your feet because I'm going to blow your head off. I know some of you don't like that, and I don't care. You stick your head in my window, I'll blow your head off, bless God Almighty. I will never act like I accept this lifestyle in a public world. I'll never act like I accept it. Pressure's on those that have moral uprights. May I say to you, verse 13 and 14, I got to close. Their strategy is to pervert the word of God. When Lot told them that God sent a warning and he was about to send judgment, they said, well, this fellow just mocks. In Romans chapter number 1, before they ever became Sodomites, they changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, I know people don't like when you preach on the King James Bible, and that's why I preach on it a lot. I'm going to tell you something. When folks set out to change God's Word, God's going to twist their understanding and give them a perverted mind. I'm going to tell you something. If those sodomites would have never held hands in Romans 1, if they'd have never kissed, if they'd have never met each other, the fact that they changed the truth of God into a lie, God had reprobated their minds. And then because of that, He turned them over to devour themselves among their own lust. I tell you what sent America on a downhill sled ride of hell with no brakes. It's when we started making fun of the Bible. We started making light of what God said. And we just didn't denounce the Bible. Oh, no, we didn't stand up and say, let's everybody get together and burn the Bible. We just start putting out some that's not offensive of our lifestyles. I'm going to tell you something. We have got known sodomites and lesbians that have sat on committees that have put together translations of the Bible. You think they're going to tell you the truth about homosexuality? You think they're going to tell you that God said they ought to be stoned in the Old Testament? You think they're going to tell you they're worthy of death, they're brute beasts worthy of death in the New Testament? Every one of those verses have been taken out, ignored, and changed. You know why? It offends their lifestyle. You know why I like the King James Bible? It'll knock the bark off you. It doesn't cut any corners. It tells it like it is, brother. And whether you like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it, brother, this book, it doesn't change to fit your fancy. It's right. It's always been right. Hey, I want a Bible that'll tell it like it is. I want to live right, raise my family right, tell my grandkids how to live right. I've got to have a Bible. I'm telling you, I'm a King James man without an apology. And if you go to a church where they use, recommend, study, or quote out of anything else, you ought to get your family out of that mess and get the Bible believing, fire breathing Baptist church. Any preacher that'll use another Bible is a promoter of perverts. You tell him I said so. I want to close with this. I want to show you something in closing. When you open Genesis chapter 19, I'm going to be honest with you, it's the darkest chapter in the Bible. How can you get any more sicker than what I just read to you tonight? But now watch this. When sodomy is not dealt with by a nation, now it was dealt with by God, but it was not legislatively dealt right by the nation. You think it opens bad in Genesis 19 with sodomites because it was not reprimanded by the people. Guess how Genesis 19 closes out? Child molesting. Incest. Have you read the newspaper lately, sir? Guess what the daily newspaper is now? Amber Alert. 9-year-old girls missing today. 12-year-old girls missing yesterday. 11-year-old boy, 9-year-old boy, 8-year-old girls missing the day before. They're finding their bodies in little swamps. They've been raped and molested, cut up and devoured. What about the man 3 weeks ago that kidnapped his own, I think it was an 8-year-old daughter and her best friend, stabbed both of them 20 times, confessed in his first confessional to the authorities that he stabbed the eyes out of both his daughter's eyes out before he killed her, his own flesh and blood daughter. What about the precious little girl down there in Florida in this very state that was drug out of the privacy of her own little... You say, well, she's a little old white trailer trash. I'll tell you something. I don't give a flip if she lived in a pup tent. She has just as much right to live as anybody else. And some old bald-headed faggot goat dragged that little girl out of the only security she had in the world. No, it wasn't much, but it was home to her. And drug her out of her own trailer, raped her, killed her, and buried her alive. And we're going to spend $6 million. The state of Florida is going to spend $6 million to try to convict the pervert that already admitted that he buried her alive. They found dirt in her lungs. That little girl was still begging to live when he threw the dirt in her face. I'm going to tell you, it shouldn't take $6 million. It ought to take $6. Put two buckshot in a shotgun and blow his head off. Wrong with this stinking country. We're crazy. We're out here putting out all kinds of bumper stickers, spending millions and millions of dollars a year trying to tell you how to get your dog and your cat neutered. We're more worried about kissing hoot owls and hugging old trees and saving a pregnant whale, and we're turning around and raping children. My God, this crowd's crazy! It's a result of the fact that we've not dealt with sodomy as a nation. You trust me, buddy. All we're going to reap is the judgment of God. Can I show you one verse in closing? I'm getting out of here. I preached 35 minutes. I've enjoyed watching some of you squirm. It's been a blessing. So I've never heard nothing like that in my church. Get out of your church. Now watch this. I'm going to give you this in closing. You say, preacher, what in the name of God are we supposed to do? Now watch this. Beginning of the chapter, you got sodomy. The ending of the chapter, you got incest, child molesting. But oh, how I thank God for verse 29. This is where we're at, and I'm done. It's the middle of the chapter. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter how dark this mess gets. God will never forget His children. And He's put us in the middle of this situation so that we could have the greatest opportunity to be a light for Jesus more than any other generation that's ever lived. And God remembered Abraham. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions concerning the service, you see Brother Julian. He's answering all questions after service tonight.